Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Wrestling fans, it is Thursday, January 13th, and you're listening to The Next Pillar, which is the new AEW podcast on the Voices of Wrestling podcast feed. My name is Blake. You can find me on Twitter at BlakeOnWax, and I'll be the host of this new podcast. And at this point, you may be asking yourself, I'm sure you're saying at this point to yourself, okay, so this podcast has an amazing theme song and I like AEW, but is this the AEW podcast for me? Well, let me tell you, it is. And that's because we're going to be bringing you some very well-reasoned takes each and every week. We'll be primarily, the structure of this show will be, we'll always have episodes up on Wednesdays. So this is meant to just be like a little bit of a preview episode, just so folks can see what I'm about and what I'm planning on doing with this here podcast. For me, I've been a fan for a long time, and I should mention, again, you can find me on Twitter at BlakeOnWax. Feel free to send me any kind of feedback that you have on the show, positive, negative, it's all fine. And if you visit me on Twitter, you can see a little article that I wrote for Voices of Wrestling just about CM Punk's return and everything that it means to me as a fan. That piece does a much better job of summarizing my history as a fan that I could ever do just recording this here. So please visit that for reference. One thing I will say, though, is that like I'm sure many of you listening to this podcast, I did do a little bit of backyard wrestling. I had a character. I had several characters, actually, as is often the case in homegrown kind of backyard federation, so to speak. My favorite character, kind of the most enduring one, was a mid-card act called Ganja. Finish was a version of the Ace Cutter. It was called the Bong Rip. I also had a submission move called the Hot Box. It was a modified version of an STF. This is despite having at this time, I believe, only smoked marijuana 3 times, I felt confident enough to pull off that gimmick. But I still have a lot of great memories from that time, as I'm sure many of you folks do too. Maybe you did some backyard wrestling. Maybe like me, you wrestled in your mom's garage where she stayed in her room crying and praying to God that no one would get hurt. Regardless of your background, I'll be bringing you this podcast each and every Wednesday, talking about the best and worst of AEW. Be a heavy focus on previewing that evening's episode of Dynamite, while also covering that last Friday's Rampage and any events that happen over the weekend. For me, AEW has been huge for me in terms of rekindling my love as a pro wrestling fan. And having said that, that doesn't mean that AEW is perfect. I would say for me, you know, I like about 80% of the product, but it's like that 20% that I don't like is almost as frustrating as the 50 to 60% of things I don't like in WWE. Although now that I think about it, that's way higher. It's probably more like 70 or 80. And I'm sure if you're tuning in, it's probably the same for you. For me, you know, I wanted to start this podcast, you know, not just because, you know, I'm excited about what's going on in AEW and very excited about, you know, kind of where indie wrestling is as well. You know, what's going on. Really excited to take a look at that Terminus show this weekend. But yeah, I'm excited. And for me, you know, unfortunately, as a wrestling fan, most wrestling podcasts tend to fall in between two categories. That first category being the category of podcast that is two, sometimes three dudes that sound like they've maybe had a little bit too much to drink at a TGI Fridays. So I promise you this podcast will not be in that category. I will not be making a list of Marvel Cinematic Universe characters and which wrestlers are like them. I'm not going to tell you that Roman Reigns is Thanos, bruh. It's not going to happen. And to the other end of the spectrum, we've all heard these podcasts, two to three dudes. Why is it always three dudes? It's often three dudes. What is the deal with this? I don't know. But it's two to three dudes, and you know, you'll listen to them talk about wrestling for an hour, and at the end of it, I find myself asking, do you guys even like this stuff? There's just a lot of cynicism. And, you know, for me, like I said, you know, even if that 20% of things that I don't like is very frustrating, I'm always going to bring you the positive aspects of things, too. I think there's a lot of positive insights that one can make about AEW and everything that's going on. And just, you know, it is... It's one of those things that in a modern media landscape, it is easy to take things for granted. And the fact that kind of like my last kind of peak as a wrestling fan occurred, you know, many years ago for me, you know, falling out of love of wrestling when WWE was kind of like the only game in town. For me, it is not lost on me just how nice it is to have a second legitimate promotion on the landscape. And I think it's something that's great for wrestlers too. I think it's something that's great for wrestling as a whole. And I do think that it is something that to be celebrated and critiqued. And so here on the Next Pillar, we'll be bringing you a balanced blend of discussion. I tend to see the positive in things. Some people may call that toxic positivity. If I'm being honest, I certainly have, I certainly have that aspect to my personality. But as you'll see a little bit later in the show here, there are plenty of things, that I like to critique as well. So again, this is the, newest AEW podcast here on the Voices of Wrestling feed. My name is Blake. You can find me on Twitter at Blake on Wax with, any and all feedback you may have about the show. Thanks for being here with me, and I'll be back in a moment. A very fun episode of Dynamite last night. Fun, if a little bit uneven, which I'll get to later. There were a couple segments that really dragged on my enjoyment of the show. But the opening segment was not one of them. I was so thrilled to see Adam Cole, not just on my TV like I am each and every time Adam Cole is on my TV. Just so you know, in that theme song, you heard correctly. We did thank God for Adam Cole in the theme song, which is something I did ask for personally. That's because I love Adam Cole. And for me, so far, Adam Cole's time in AEW has been a little bit like that episode of Dragon Ball Z where Goku and Piccolo just get driver's licenses, and that's the entire episode. That actually happened. Look it up. He's kind of just been in a holding pattern here, and that's been kind of the case with CM Punk too, although, you know, obviously recently this MJF feud has been glorious. CM Punk was kind of in that holding pattern up until that Eddie Kingston feud. Adam Cole, he's really just been spinning his wheels this entire time, and so to have such an exciting angle now where, you know, I'm hard-pressed to think of a stable with more star power than, you know, Adam Cole, Red Dragon, the Young Bucks, and Britt Baker. That's a lot of star power. It's also, for me, really cool to see a stable like that where you have this couple in Britt Baker and Adam Cole. I can't really think of an example where you have a couple like this where the woman is really the bigger star and the more established person in the company. So I find that really cool too. I am really excited to see, you know, this mixed tag on Friday with Adam Cole and Britt Baker teaming up against Chris Statlander and Orange Cassidy. Although for me, I really could go without them. If they're looking to like kind of book a long-term program again with Chris Statlander and Britt Baker, that's not really something I'm as interested in as this tag match. I'm kind of hoping that this is just a one-off. I love Chris Statlander, but I have seen that Chris Statlander, Britt Baker match up enough. I've seen that enough. I'd like her to kind of maybe face some other people. But just this tag match in and of itself is going to be a lot of fun. Adam Cole finding out that there's really nothing harder than keeping your groups of friends together when you're in your mid to late 30s. That's some real shit right there. So moving on to the CM Punk Wardlow segment, I thought overall, you know, it was a great way to continue building this MJF CM Punk feud. For me, you know, I don't think that CM Punk necessarily needed to get that pinfall victory. I know a lot of folks don't like to see non-finishes. I think this is kind of one of those rare cases where a non-finish probably would have been better. I think it's obvious that, you know, Wardlow's going places in this company. I think he would have looked better, you know, not eating that loss, especially, you know, to a small package like that. I do feel like CM Punk, I think it's good that this wasn't his first loss. But again, I don't think that CM Punk needed the victory either. So I maybe would have tinkered with that a little bit differently, but I digress. I do think, you know, for me, I think the issue with CM Punk, why things have seemed just a little bit off ever since he's arrived in AEW, is just, it's hard to be sympathetic towards CM Punk. You know, you have this wrestling legend who's had this huge return. You know, he's selling a crazy amount of merch. You know, he didn't need the money. He didn't need to come back. But here he is. It's hard to be sympathetic towards someone like that. You know, this is essentially CM Punk's gimmick in AEW is basically being the cool dad at soccer practice. He's kind of the cool dad at soccer practice. You know, he's the dad that you want to make conversation with. He's the dad who maybe you send him a little message being like, hey, man, what if we go grab a beer sometime? And then for the next couple weeks, you're checking your phone being like, did he respond? Did he respond? But I digress. As for what I didn't like about the show, I think the you know, part of why I don't really want to just come on here each and every week and review Dynamite is just that there's a lot of other shows that review it, and a lot of these takes are already out there. But I do think that it is mentioning, it's worth mentioning, rather, just how bad that segment was with Red Velvet and Layla Hirsch and poor Chris Statlander. You know, these are three women that have a tremendous amount of talent when it comes to, you know, being in the ring. But not very much talent when it comes to being on the stick. And for me, you know, AEW has received a lot of criticism, very valid criticism for how it's managed its women's division. And one of the more common complaints that I hear is just how frequently two people who are maybe not the best in the ring end up getting paired together. You know, whereas, you know, maybe they could do a better job of, you know, putting some of these kind of like, you know, more established in the ring people against the people with the less experience. And obviously that makes a lot of sense. And that makes a lot of sense. It makes even more sense to not put three people who can't talk together on TV. And that's exactly what this segment was. It's the exact kind of segment where if you're watching, you're watching your wrestling and someone that doesn't watch wrestling comes in, it's the exact kind of segment where maybe you make a lot of really loud conversation because you don't want them to pay attention to what's going on your TV because it's so bad. And that is when wrestling is bad, that is exactly how it's bad. And that is exactly how that segment last night was bad. It was embarrassing. It was the kind of segment you watch and you just wonder who greenlit this. How did it happen? Fortunately with AEW, there are, fewer of those segments than, Raw, but there's still too many of them. And when you have a roster like this, with so many people that can go in the ring, so many people that can go on the mic, there's really no excuse why, garbage like this should even see the light of day, frankly. That was kind of the big drag of last night's segment for me. Similar drag would be Chris Jericho. I'm at least a little bit glad that he seems to kind of be going, maybe being on TV a little less, maybe being on TV, in mixed, tag matches a little bit more. I do think that a program between, him and Eddie Kingston is interesting. Here you have this wrestler that has really hung their hat on authenticity. Eddie Kingston is authentic. That's why fans love him. To have that juxtaposed with, Chris Jericho, this, someone who is, anything but, authentic and humble. I think it makes for just like a great contrast to wrestlers. And I am excited to see what they put together in the ring. But having said that, the fact that 2 weeks in a row, you have a guy like Chris Jericho making South Park references on TV. Who exactly is wanting to see this? Unless they're like, have their like demographics so like, they're so razor precise with their demographics where Tony Khan is like, hey, Chris, we really need something that's going to draw in 13-year-old boys. Similarly puzzling is Chris Jericho's preoccupation with the size of people's heads. I don't know if like he has some kind of nascent interest in phrenology. If he's going to start, DDP yoga, it's going to be Y2J phrenology, and he can like send you an at-home. Phrenology is the study of the size of people's heads, by the way. It used to be a way that where you would diagnose all kinds of maladies back in the day. You'd measure someone's head. I don't know if maybe we have DDP yoga, now we have Y2J phrenology, and he'll mail you a kit where you measure your head at home. You can send it off, and Chris Jericho will tell you what's wrong with you, what you need to do. Or maybe he'll just yell at you and say you have a square head or a pinhead, or maybe his wife will ask you to donate to the Trump campaign. Who knows? But in any case, I don't really know what's going on with Chris Jericho these days. He's obviously had that kind of sophomoric quality to his promos from the get-go. But for me, I'm a much bigger fan of, when Chris Jericho is not focusing in on that 13-year-old boy demographic. At least that's my theory on what's going on anyway. If you'd like more information about phrenology, I'm sorry, I can't help you. But if you have more information on phrenology, I'm sure I've probably gotten something wrong. Again, on Twitter, at Blake on Wax. And so we've reached the end of the show, and thanks for giving this preview just a little taste. It's kind of like, what it is this episode was kind of like a Costco sample. It's a little bit more substantial than the samples you're used to, but it's still not quite the full thing. So if you want the full thing, you don't want just half a cocktail weenie, you want the full weenie, I'll be back next week on Wednesday. And until then, this week's words of wisdom are for one Adam Cole, and they are this, and that's that when it comes to friends, sometimes growing up means growing apart. Thanks, folks. Thank you.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.